Bethany.
Yes.
Neil and I play this game around dinner time. Who is less tired?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And that is the person who has to make dinner. And usually we just end up ordering because we're both tired.
Yeah.
And
everyone's tired.
Yeah. So when we got our every plate delivery at the top of the month, I was so freaking happy because for once in my life, my husband made me dinner.
Oh, it's such a relief when someone else tells you what's for dinner.
Yeah.
And it's easy to make. Now, I am not the dinner maker in my family, but when every plate comes,
yeah,
I can be like, oh, now I am being the benevolent partner. Yeah. I'll make dinner. And it is so nice because every plate's meals are delicious, easy to make, and they send you everything you need. You don't have to worry about running out of ingredients or having too much of something that then rots in the back of the fridge.
Neil made this French onion chicken. It had these roasted carrots and these mashed potatoes. And I don't know what it was about this meal, but I tried to recreate it myself and I couldn't because it was just something about every plate's ingredients that were so fresh.
Yeah.
Every plate makes life so much easier.
And you've heard of a million different kinds of meal kits, but every plate is so much more affordable. Actually, every plate is 58% cheaper than your average fast casual meal, and you get to know exactly what you're eating at the same time.
That's what differentiates every plate from other meal kits, because their lower price point and the deliciosity of their food is just a win-win for me on all accounts.
I've made their roasted bell pepper flatbread. Oh. It comes with creamy tomato sauce and mozzarella.
If you're a vegetarian, they've got some of the tastiest vegetarian dinners out there.
Yeah, we've also tried their spicy chickpea and couscous bowls. Have you ever had smoky carrots before?
I don't know what it is, what they do to the carrots at every plate, but they're like the best carrots I've ever had.
They smoke them, apparently. So get $1.39 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and then entering the code TASTE139.
Get started with every plate for just $1.39 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering the code TASTE139.
That's up to $134 value.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello and welcome to an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, you're overzealous with my makeup, spying on the neighborhood from my window. I'm at the point in my life when I'm shopping for a swimsuit, I type in cute and slightly modest into the Google search, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your gargoyle shelf buying, morning meditating. My black shirt is covered in faux fur from my pink coat, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I get together to talk about our lives, topics we are curious about, and what's weird in the world. And we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
celebrities who use fake voices.
Oh.
And we are not talking about the kind of fake voices where it's a British actor and they have an American accent in a show.
Uh-huh.
Or people who exaggerate their real voice. We are talking about people who use completely fake voices when they should be using a normal voice.
I am so curious to see what you have to say. And I am praying that it's not a celebrity that I really, really like, because I'm going to be heartbroken.
I don't think any of these are going to be giant shocks.
Uh-huh.
But it's more interesting to hear what their real voices are.
You know, I wish that I could take lessons in that type of English in the 20s when motion pictures were a new thing and you could actually get sound.
Yes, yes.
And that, what was it? It was like that mix of American English and British English.
It was like the mid-Atlantic or the transatlantic accent.
Yeah, that's what it was called. Yeah. I wish that you could go to a class and take lessons
You
for
can.
That.
You can totally you? Can. There's a million YouTube videos. Here's the crazy thing. There's no actual perfect way to speak with that accent.
Yeah.
Because it's not real, right?
Yeah.
So there's no like standard mid-Atlantic the way there's a standard British or a standard American. So you kind of just can do what feels right. The one video I watched specifically said, if you are American, mm-hmm. just try to speak a little more British. And if you're British, try to speak a little more American. And sort of that melange will give you the clipped sort of.
Oh.
Like, I mean, as an American, you kind of let your ahs go.
Oh.
And you clip. You clip so, your consonants a bit more.
Darling, would you mind just grabbing me a cup of coffee? No, I'm so bad at accents.
Accent work is hard.
I am comically bad at accents.
Kathleen.
Yes.
I want to ask you how you're doing because you said this morning as you were coming in, you're stress eating. Are you okay? What are you so stressed about? What's going on?
Okay. Can I give you a passport update?
Please. If you missed our last episode, gentle listener, you're listening backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen is leaving the country.
In a week now.
She's evading the law.
I think that this is a trend because I feel like more and more people are telling me about it. 40th birthday trips.
Okay. Are you turning 40 this year?
No. My friend Kristen is. Maybe I shouldn't even say her name. I'm sorry, Kristen. I'm sorry.
Keep saying
it. You know what?
Repeat it in the apology.
Let me do. Okay, Kristen, I'm sorry. This is. I'm going to make it up to you. If there are anybody listening to this, if you would like to date a really smart, beautiful, single woman in her. Nope, I'm not.
Wow.
A smart, beautiful woman in Cincinnati.
Wow.
She's available for dating.
Okay.
So I'm giving her free dating airtime right now.
Definitely. So she is turning 40 guys are all running out of the country.
We're going to Tulum.
Tulum?
Tulum.
And you have not seen your passport since 2020?
Something like that, yeah.
Now, what's the latest?
I tore my house apart this weekend, Bethany. Tore it apart. Didn't find my passport. Did find a tax return that I hadn't deposited yet.
My God. Kathleen, you need to deposit money.
Neil and I looked at each other and were like, in 2023, we have to be more responsible.
Has the check expired?
No, it hasn't. You have a year.
You are so lucky.
I know. Okay. Can't find it, Bethany.
Okay.
I called the emergency passport national hotline.
Yeah.
Got in touch with them. And tonight, Bethany, because there are no appointments in Connecticut, there's no office in New Jersey, in New York City has an emergency passport office, no appointments, no appointments in Philly, no appointments in D.C. I am flying to Buffalo, New York tonight.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm flying to Buffalo for less than 24 hours. And I'm flying there the night before because I'm just so nervous that if I take a morning flight the day of, I have to be there by noon, that my flight will get canceled. So at 8 p.m. tonight, I'm getting on a plane. I'm going to Buffalo. I'm spending the night at a hotel next to the passport office. In the morning, I'm waking up. I'm going to my appointment and I am getting a passport that way.
What did you have to tell them? Do you have to give a reason why, like, I don't have my passport?
Yeah, before you're eligible to get a new one, you have to tell them, like, why it's lost or stolen, and then you have to report it lost or stolen.
Oh, no.
And I was just like, you know what? I don't know where it went. I think that I left it in the glove box in my car, and sometime last year, we found the car had been rifled through.
Is that true?
Yes, it
is. Oh, really?
No,
oh, okay.
No, it actually is.
Oh, wow. That's scary.
And I mean, sometimes Neil forgets to lock the door. We don't keep anything important in the car.
It's except like you two need a nanny.
We do. So that's why I'm stress eating cookies and I have heartburn.
Okay. I'm just going to ask so many prying questions. No. You could kindly tell me to blow myself off. How much did this cost you?
Okay. It is costing me like $300, $380 to fly to Buffalo. I figured that it's easier to fly than drive because I either chalk up $380 for the flight or I try and nearly kill myself driving 6 hours there and 6 hours back. Yeah. My life to me is worth $380.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like not being totally exhausted.
Yeah.
And then I found like just like a cheap hotel that's like $60.
Do you think that are you traveling like with a tiny overnight bag? And do you think that will make them suspicious? And do you think they'll take you into another room to see if you're a tourist?
No, I freaking hope not, Bethany.
I don't know. I don't know what happens when you fly light. I've never done it. I always have at least two giant steamer trunks with me.
I mean, I'm just bringing a backpack. I'm going to wear jeans there, get to the hotel, take them off and put them on the next morning.
Follow-up question.
Yeah.
Hi, Bethany Watson, theweirdtimes.com. Follow-up question.
Uh-huh.
Are you a little excited to spend a hotel room night alone? You can watch like Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, no, I'm going to order room service.
Yeah, what are you going to order, do you think?
Probably like a cheeseburger.
Ugh.
And wear a bathrobe. I mean, I'm not staying in a really nice hotel, so there probably is no room service.
That's true. When we drove to the Midwest for Christmas, we stayed in a hotel where we ordered room service, and they were like, well, we don't actually have room service, but you can come down to the bar and order the food there and then come down and pick it up.
That's amazing.
And I was like, could you at least transfer me to the bar? And she's like, I'll see if Brad's there.
Oh, my God.
So room service is hard to come by. It's staffing shortages.
You know, speaking of my friend Kristen, she is the one that got me into room service. I am not somebody who spends money on room service or spas or manicures. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't do that stuff.
Yeah.
And she introduced me to the luxury of room service.
It's a luxury you pay for, but man, is it nice.
I know. It's like, it's 30%, like basically whatever you would order at a restaurant, it's 30% more expensive.
Once, so in our old jobs, we traveled a ton.
Yes.
And there were times when like, we would wake up and we would have something to do immediately in the morning. So room service was really kind of your only option if you wanted to eat.
Yes.
And I ordered an omelet.
Uh-huh.
And it was $60. Because of where we were. I think we were in Vegas.
Yeah.
And the company put us up at like the Bellagio, just something so profoundly unaffordable.
Uh-huh.
The company put us up there, but you then had to pay for your own food. And the food, it was like an omelet. It came with a side of toast and with like the tip and just the room service charge and state tax and all of that. $60 for an omelet and toast.
Holy Moses.
It was crazy.
By the way, I despise companies that make you go on a work trip and then make you pay for your own food.
I hate it.
It has happened to me so many times where I had to pay for my own transportation to the airport.
Yep.
I had to pay for my own food when I was there.
Yeah.
I had to pay for, a checked bag if we needed special outfits to do something for this freaking work trip.
Yep.
I talk to friends sometimes who travel for work and everything is covered.
They get a per diem. They get it, we would often not get it refunded because they'd be like, that's not a work expense. It's food.
I know.
But I think it's happening more and more with like companies cutting way back.
And if you really need that job,
yeah.
Or if you're the sole provider or the main breadwinner of your family, what do you say to the company?
Yeah. So you're just like out. You're out money.
You can't complain. And especially if you're a woman, you don't want to be the one that's like always causing a stir.
That's why, even though I'm in a committed relationship,
yeah,
I am also looking to have a public marriage to, like, I don't know, the head of an airline chain.
Okay.
And I think that Dennis and I can both jointly marry the head of this airline chain. Hmm. I feel like you get flights, probably good perks.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Maybe you get some, like, leftover in-flight meals that you can take home with you, maybe, if they don't get eaten that day. Does that happen?
I mean, you guys would be a real a jet-setter throuple.
Totally. Normalize two people marrying a third person for the third person's money and status.
Throuple gold diggers.
Kathleen,
yeah.
We're still in like the new year sort of time and it's still people are like, oh, I gotta make a better me. I have to completely change who I am today.
Absolutely. You can change yourself every day. It doesn't have to be New Year's.
But guess what?
Yeah.
There is an easy thing you can do to be a better you.
Yeah.
And that is hydrate yourself, babe. Liquid IV. Put a stick of liquid IV in your morning water.
Uh-huh.
Shake it up.
Yeah.
Drink it down. All of a sudden, you have more hydration in your body than if you had woken up and just chugged coffee and a sip of water when you brushed your teeth.
The liquid IV flavor that I have been so obsessed with lately is the green apple tart kombucha.
Oh my sweet God.
And I had a friend who sometimes comes over and she'll grab a couple sticks of liquid IV.
Yeah.
Because it's her favorite hangover cure. And she went to go grab the tart apple and I was like, get your dirty paws out of my liquid IV bag because that is the flavor that I am not sharing.
And it is a new one and you can't have it yet. I really love their grape. I love their white cherry.
Oh, yeah.
And also, they have this really good, like, mango citrus flavor that if you mix it with your cherry, all of a sudden it feels like you're in, I don't know, some sort of tropical location.
My favorite hobby is being a liquid IV mixologist. And water can sometimes sometimes be really boring.
Yeah.
But liquid IV is so delicious. And I have firsthand experience with how I feel after drinking it versus not drinking it.
Yeah.
And to me, there is a difference in my body.
I know a lot of people who just hate the taste of water.
Yeah.
So if you don't like water, but you know you need to drink it, do something good for yourself. Instead of just adding flavors, adding liquid IV is a delicious flavor. Plus, it's giving you 5 essential vitamins. You get B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C. You get 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks, and it's free from gluten, dairy, and soy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel better, baby.
And if you've been practicing dry January, thirsty February, there's all sorts of really cool liquid IV cocktail recipes on the internet. So grab your liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and then use the code TASTE at checkout.
That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using the promo code TASTE at liquidiv.com. So let's talk about fake voices and the celebrities who use them.
Okay.
Now, like I said in segment one, this isn't including performers like Fran Drescher is one that comes to mind, where she has, like, on her show The Nanny, she used, like, this very nasally, heavily accented voice. That's an exaggeration of her own speaking voice.
Yes.
This is not her. This is not, like, Jennifer Tilly or Gilbert Gottfried, who sort of just exaggerate. This is also not actors who adopt accents in real life, like Madonna or Lindsay Lohan. Like, if you live in a place for a long time, some people pick up the... Right, that's not this.
Okay.
We are talking about people who put on a very fake voice in times when they would be expected to be using a real voice.
Ooh, okay, okay.
Okay. First up, Paris Hilton. Now, if you are from the 90s and you watched, you know, The Simple Life with Paris Hilton and what's her name?
Yeah. Nicole Richie.
Nicole Richie.
Do you know that Gen Zers are watching that again?
Are they terrified?
And they think it's, like, really entertaining to have to go through life without a cell phone. It's like, that's how we all used to live.
It was a simpler time. So Paris Hilton uses this baby voice. She apparently does not sound like that. And when people found out, because she came out with a documentary,
yeah,
people's worlds were shaken.
I keep meaning to watch that. It's supposed to be very good.
It's supposed to be really good. I think it's on YouTube. I think you can watch it for free.
Oh.
So she did an interview with the Australian talk show Sunrise. And she said that she's been playing a character the entire time. She's not a dumb blonde.
Yeah.
She's brilliant.
Uh-huh.
She says, I'm a businesswoman. And she wanted to start using her real voice for a variety of reasons. So let's listen to her baby voice.
Okay.
Okay? This is what her baby voice sounds like.
Thank you. Means a lot. Love you.
Okay. Little baby voice. Okay?
Yeah. This is the way you talk to your pet.
Yeah.
Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you need your mommy to give you new water?
This is Paris Hilton's real voice. This is during the interview with the show Sunrise.
I just felt like it was time for the world to finally know who I was. I don't want to be remembered as some airhead. I want to be respected for the businesswoman I am.
Get out of here.
She has a normal... She and I have a very similar voice.
Get out of here.
Is that crazy?
Didn't she just come out on New Year's Eve show? I don't even know what channel it was on. Whatever show had Miley and Dolly Parton.
I think so, yeah.
And she came out and sang...
Stars Are Blind.
Stars Are Blind.
The song... It's kind of a good song.
It's a bop.
Yeah.
For sure. I remember when that came out.
Yeah.
But I think she made a whole album and the rest of the album was kind of meh.
I mean, unknown.
There's
no way of knowing.
I used to have Lindsay Lohan's album.
What was that called?
I have no idea.
Yeah, me either.
But it was when you could rip a CD and upload it to your MP3 player. It was that many years ago.
To your Zune.
Yeah.
So Paris Hilton apparently learned this from her mother.
Huh.
Kathy Hilton says that she uses it when she wants something. She said Paris learned it from her. Paris uses it when she's feeling shy or a little insecure in a social situation. She also uses it when she wants something. Her sister, Nikki, hates it. She hates it when Paris does it. She hates it when her mom does it.
Yeah.
She cannot stand this voice.
Wait, Bethany?
Hmm.
I just realized something.
What?
Okay. When I first started working in radio,
I
went on air because Taylor Swift was coming in and I had a meltdown.
Why?
No, I was just so excited. I was like, song, Taylor Swift. Blah, blah, blah. And somebody texted in to the radio show, I hate Kathleen's voice.
Oh, wow. That's nice feedback.
And then I realized that I was talking in the wrong, I was speaking in the wrong register.
For you or for radio?
For radio.
What were you speaking in?
Okay, wait, can I play a clip?
Of course.
Of what I used to sound like?
Do you just have this ready?
Okay, a couple of weeks ago, I was searching on YouTube for my friend Stephanie's old YouTube channel because there are clips on there of us just like BSing around.
Yeah.
And Stephanie was kind enough to edit a video that I made for my, I took it like a modern dance.
Yes.
One and two or whatever. Yeah. And we had to make a video final.
Yeah.
Okay. And my friend Stephanie was the only one with a Mac at a time because Max just like people didn't have them.
No,
She was fancy. She was from New York City.
Yeah.
And so we took all this footage and she edited it for us.
Amazing.
In like something very rudimentary. And I was watching this video a couple of weeks ago and it made me realize that somewhere in 2011, when I started working in radio, I changed my voice. I changed the register of my voice, and now I have a much deeper voice than I used to.
Do you think you... Let's listen. Do you have it on you?
Yeah. So just bear with me, okay?
Okay.
Flip right down the back. But I know that when you're dancing and you're performing, that you can't stop, that you always have to just keep going. So I kept going, even though my spirit was ripped, and it was really embarrassing.
Yeah. So that's just a little clip of me, like, telling a story about, like, I persevered during a dance emergency when my skirt ripped in cheerleading.
It is interesting. I wouldn't even say your voice is like higher. It's just a bit more like a little valley girly.
Like once when I was in cheerleading, yeah, it is kind of valley girly. And yeah. I think that that's what I used to talk like.
I think it's a nervous thing because when I first started talking on microphones too, my voice, you definitely get higher.
Yes.
And you giggle a lot because you're nervous.
Uh-huh.
And then it takes some comfort to kind of drop into what your natural register is.
And definitely I, for most of my life, was speaking in a different register.
That's really interesting.
I mean, you have to speak in certain tones when you work in podcasting and radio.
Yeah. People need to be able to listen to your voice for long periods of time.
Okay. So anyway, I'm on this list of fraudsters.
Okay. Well, I'll add you for the next time. All right. The next person who used a fake voice was Michael Jackson.
Mm.
So he used a really high kind of feathery voice when he spoke in public. He used it along with kind of having a shy persona, being really respectful, being kind of quiet. So it sort of all fit with this kind of childlike cringe persona.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. There's a really great YouTube video by The Detail that goes through this. I linked it in the show notes for you. So people didn't really realize he had a real voice until some artists and celebrities came out and mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
So people kind of became aware of his real voice when a satellite appearance he did at the 2002 Billboard Music Awards resurfaced.
Hmm.
So Michael Jackson is sitting with Chris Tucker next to him, and they're both talking via satellite to the host of the Billboard Music Awards.
Okay.
I used to think Via was a brand of satellite. Fun fact. So the host says, "You know this man." So then Michael Jackson laughs and repeats the joke to Chris Tucker sitting next to him. And he says it in his more natural voice.
Mm.
And this is what that sounded like.
"You know this man."
That sounds like a regular male human and not a child.
Now, this is Michael Jackson's fake voice. This is probably the voice most of us, if we know who Michael Jackson is, are familiar with.
Okay.
"An inspiration. I wish you a very happy Christmas and a peaceful new year. I look forward to seeing you soon. And I love you all dearly. Thank you very much."
Right?
The difference between that and his real voice is even more stark of a contrast than Paris Hilton and her voice.
So then what's crazy is there was a boxing game called Ready to Rumble Boxing Round 2.
Hmm.
And it was celebrities boxing, and Michael Jackson did his own voice for the Michael Jackson boxer.
Okay.
He used an even lower voice
hmm.
to the point where it sounds like it's not him, and it sounds like a really bad Michael Jackson impersonator. Here is that really bad voice.
They call me the King of Pop. I'm gonna dance all over you,
Michael Jackson.
So you'd be bad, huh? I don't move over for no one.
Doesn't that sound awful?
I don't believe that that's him.
It doesn't sound like him. It's apparently him.
There's no way.
So Spike Lee, Liza Minnelli, T-Pain, they've all attested to Michael Jackson's voice being really deep. T-Pain said in an interview that his voice was, quote, deep as shit.
Oh my God. Of course, that very T-Pain.
Yeah. And he said that his voice, Michael Jackson's voice, was somewhere between where his fake voice was and where Prince's real voice was. Because Prince had a deep voice.
Yes, he did.
So his voice was like pretty deep. Spike Lee said it was a strategy. It was a constructed voice.
That is so interesting to think about that. I mean, obviously, when you're Michael Jackson, you have people working on branding and persona strategies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think a branding and persona strategy person would say to you?
Like, in the past, I've been told, again, we're talking a lot about our former lives here.
Yeah.
I was told I needed to, like, cut out the dark stuff, like the gothy stuff, and talk more about shoes.
That's my favorite part about you.
So I think they would, I cannot even think.
What they would say to you at this point in time.
No, I can't even think.
I think that a branding and persona person would come up with, they would have like a board, right, for you.
Yeah.
And I think this is what a lot of influencers do. You, and a lot of brands do this too. They give human qualities to their brand persona.
Definitely.
And I think this is probably what Michael Jackson did. He said, okay, I am the world's biggest pop star, but I'm also very lighthearted and childish.
Yeah.
And all I bring to people's lives are light and fun and airiness.
Yeah.
And because he didn't want to be someone who was like doom and gloom.
No.
Obviously better for his brand. People love him everywhere.
And he's more approachable if he seems more childlike.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So that is probably the qualities that he gave to his persona. Like for you, Bethany, if you were to hire a persona coach, they might say, hey, you're kind of like floating in between being really goth and being Victorian. Pick one and stick to it.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm just joking. I think that you're perfect the way that you are.
You're very sweet. By the way, Michael Jackson was known for doing voices and really liking to do it. He was pranked once on a prank call show.
Uh-huh.
And he answered the phone pretending to be his own assistant and then was himself and then pretended to be someone else. It's really weird. So Michael Jackson, a strange one.
Fascinating. Bethany, I gotta tell you, I did one of those dinners the other night in those outdoor igloos.
Okay.
And I was like, what do I wear? Because I want to look cute, but I also want to be warm.
Yeah.
What
does a girl wear?
And then I remembered that I had just gotten the Jenny Kane cocoon cardigan.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Because, you know, also when you're sitting outside, you sort of need your butt covered too.
Yes.
Because if you just put your bare jeans butt on a cold chair, then your whole body is cold. My Jenny Kane cocoon sweater, it's cashmere. It comes down to the back of my mid thigh. It's like loose and comfy. It looks like a boyfriend style cardigan, but it's also really polished, and it is the softest thing that I own.
I could not agree with you more. So Jenny Kane is your go-to shopping destination for classic, comfortable, stylish clothes.
Yeah.
They have cashmere knit sweaters. They have slippers that you'll never want to take off. You know how there are some people who they can dress casually and they still look really elegant?
Yeah, like all of my family from California.
Yes. This is what they're wearing. So I have one of Jenny Kane's sweater coats in black.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be very upfront with you.
Yeah.
The cost is a little bit higher than I would normally spend.
Mm-hmm.
However, I have had this sweater coat for, I think, 4 years now.
Yeah.
And it looks exactly the same as when I first bought it. This Jenny Kane coat, I wore it the entire time I was away for Christmas. It works as a coat. It also is elegant like a sweater. It's long and beautiful. This is the time when you want your money to last.
Yeah.
And putting it in pieces like Jenny Kane
Yeah.
is a smart investment.
I am all about spending a little bit more on quality pieces
yep.
and then having less pieces.
Yes.
And it makes my life simpler. I got to tell you, Bethany, Valentine's Day is coming up and I'm really happy that we got another Jenny Kane discount code because mama is buying herself another sweater.
Oh, it's the best. And by the way, we got a discount code for you, gentle listener.
Indeed, indeed.
Find your forever pieces at JennyKane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use the code AAT for an acquired taste at checkout.
Again, that's 15% off of your first order when you use the code AAT at checkout at JennyKane.com. That's JenniKayne.com, promo code AAT.
New year, new me, new you, and new clothes with Jenny Kane. All right, next up, Elizabeth Holmes, famous for the fake blood testing company Theranos, convicted of 3 counts of wire fraud and 1 count of conspiracy for creating this fake blood testing machine that didn't work.
When does she go to jail? That's coming up soon.
End of this April.
Or prison, rather.
Prison, yeah. Yep.
I can't remember. She asked for an extension. Why? Was she pregnant?
I think pregnant.
Yeah.
She has been sentenced to over 11 years in prison. So she'll be there.
There's
for
no,
a while.
There's no way she's going to serve all
no,
of that.
Absolutely
she'll
not.
She'll serve like a year.
Yeah.
Because she's white.
And pretty.
And pretty and wealthy.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Amanda Seyfried played her in Hulu's The Dropout.
I know. I couldn't get through it.
Really?
You know what? I need to go back and revisit.
Give it a shot. Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Holmes is known for having a super deep voice.
Yeah.
And I think unlike a lot of these others, people knew from pretty early on that this was clearly a fake voice because it was too deep for what sounded natural. And it sounded like it was painful for her to do this voice.
Okay.
So here is an interview she did with Fortune where she's using this fake voice.
Over the last 11 years, we've reinvented the traditional laboratory infrastructure.
It's down here.
I am listening to that and my throat starts hurting.
It does, right? Because you, if you try to do a deep voice, you're really speaking through your throat,
not from your diaphragm.
My name is Elizabeth Holmes. No, I can't even get that deep.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
She must have had to practice.
Yeah. Yes. Here's, for contrast, what her real voice sounds like.
We talked to our lab team, and they said, okay, you can do the draw. And so they did this, what would have been a finger stick, on this little nub on his arm.
Contrast, here's the fake voice again.
Over the last 11 years, we've reinvented.
It's, her voice is so pleasant, and it's actually, her voice is pretty deep to begin with.
Yeah.
There's no reason that she needed to drop it that low.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it is very deep. Her vocal cords must be fried.
Yeah. So former coworkers and acquaintances of hers said that her voice wasn't always that low.
Yeah.
And people think that she lowered it so that she could sound more authoritative, especially in the tech industry. It's male dominated. You know, she sort of emulated Steve Jobs. She wore that black turtleneck all the time.
Yeah.
So the deep voice was probably part of trying to not seem like a blonde woman and, who people are stereotyping against.
And for that, I forgive her for the voice, but
sure, she's trying something.
It's not that she needs my forgiveness. Trust me, she has. I'm sure she has a very full life. But it's like the voice in conjunction with all of the other horrible, deceiving, fraudster things that she did.
Yeah,
it just adds to the big picture.
Totally.
But just the voice alone, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, if she had done the voice and actually was able to invent this machine that actually did work, it'd be fine, you know?
Do you think that there's ever going to be anyone who takes her blueprints and is like, oh, thanks for laying the groundwork for me, Elizabeth, but I'm actually going to make this happen?
I bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm. So when Amanda Seyfried played her, she told Elle.com that she approached the voice like it was an accent because she said Elizabeth Holmes's mouth is shaped differently and works differently. So she had to learn how to speak like her before she dropped her voice, if that makes sense.
Oh.
And then when she got Elizabeth Holmes' specific accent and way of speech down, then she and her voice coach worked with like breathing exercises to successfully drop her voice without hurting her vocal cords.
There is a way to do that. When you are on a, like, there's a Broadway production in New York called Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And the person who plays Beetlejuice, right? Is that,
yeah,
the, is that the titular
yeah,
character?
Yeah, yeah.
They have crazy, you know, crazy voices up and down and all sorts of screaming and stuff like that. And I think I saw an interview somewhere where the main guy playing Beetlejuice says that there's a way to do this performance every night and to not absolutely fry your vocal cords.
Alex Brightman, right?
Yes, I think so. And I'm just so curious as to what that is.
I would imagine it's a lot of breath support. It's a lot of like, okay. We're going to, okay.
I'm going to push my chair out from the table.
Yeah, every listening, gentle listener, do this at home.
Okay.
Okay, so put your hand on your chest,
mm-hmm,
okay? And now try breathing so that your hand goes up, right? So you're breathing just into, like, shallowly into your chest.
Okay.
Like, breathe. It lifts your shoulders,
yes,
and it lifts your chest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, put your hands around your ribs on either side of your rib cage.
Okay.
Okay. Now breathe so that you're making your hands go out sideways from your body. Breathe really into your, like, stomach and ribs.
Okay.
Do you feel them go out sideways and your stomach sort of comes out?
It feels really different.
It's a very different breath.
Oh.
But most of us.
Yeah.
Do the shallow breath from our chest.
Yeah, that is why you run out of breath when you're, like, talking forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can hear the difference. This is chest.
Yeah.
This is a diaphragm.
That makes sense. When I was taking singing lessons during the pandemic, we talked a lot about breathy voices, breathing from the top of your chest,
uh-huh,
versus diaphragm.
It's so different.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, going back to Elizabeth Holmes, she is not the first woman to drop her voice to try and sound more authoritative.
Oh, who else has done it?
Margaret Thatcher,
hmm,
discovered when she was running for prime minister in 1979,
mm-hmm,
she discovered she was not getting the same respect as her fellow candidates. So she worked with a voice coach,
hmm,
to deepen her voice.
No, look at that.
She was elected.
Huh.
Okay, this one's my favorite.
Okay.
The rapper DDG.
Who?
His name is DDG.
Okay.
You might know him. He is dating Halle Bailey, who plays the new Ariel.
Oh, yes, yes,
Our black Ariel.
My friend Lauren, when she goes on first dates, that's how she gauges if somebody is racist or not. She says, are you upset that Ariel is black?
Is she the one who also asks, where were you on January 6th?
Yeah, she does. Great. Where were you on January 6th? We had Lauren on our live show a couple of weeks ago.
So DDG a few months ago went viral, mm-hmm, because he was on the Dope As Usual podcast. And the host, Yola, said that he had been getting hundreds of messages from people asking DDG to use his real voice.
Huh.
And the host was like, is this real? Do people think your voice isn't real? And DDG says, I can really talk like this deep, and everyone freaks out.
Ooh.
So here is a clip. First, you're going to hear DDG say, nah, it's real, in his sort of higher, quote unquote, normal voice that everyone knows.
Okay.
Then he dips into his real voice, and it's wild. Here we go.
Nah, it's real. What, they think your voice isn't real? What?
I really talk.
What the fuck?
His voice is so, so crazy deep that people don't believe it's his real voice.
And it's almost harder to understand,
yeah,
him, because it's that, like, froggy, sort of grainy,
yeah,
voice.
Yeah.
The low one.
So here he is again on the Dope As Usual podcast explaining that voice.
I just talk like this when I'm trying to, like, make music and make content and shit.
But I really talk like this in real life.
The voice is so crazy deep.
Unbelievable.
And he has said that he's really insecure. He maintains it's real. A,
yeah,
lot of people were accusing him of, like, editing his voice or faking it, trolling people. He maintains it's real.
Hmm.
He said that he doesn't use his real deep voice because he's insecure about it. And in a vlog he did from 2017, he was trying to prove to people, this is my real voice. So while he was doing his YouTube vlog, he went live on Instagram and he started using his real voice. And he was like, people on Instagram Live, tell the people on YouTube that this isn't edited, right? Because this is live.
Wow.
And people on Instagram Live started laughing. Like, they would put the laughing emoji.
Yeah.
And it super bummed him out because he said people think it's a joke. People laugh at him. He doesn't want to be the guy who walks around and everyone's like, hey, use your real voice. Like, he didn't want it to be a thing.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really use it. But it seems like he is more. So here he is from that 2017 vlog, kind of going, switching back and forth between his higher voice and his real voice.
I just feel like it's too motherfucking deep, you know, so I've been trying to like
talk regular. I feel like when I talk regular, it's like I'm more relatable to y'all. I just feel like
if I use my deep voice, a lot of y'all wouldn't take me serious and shit.
I understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
I understand it.
So he says the reason he has this super deep voice is because when he was like a year old, mm-hmm. he swallowed a penny.
Oh my.
And it shredded his vocal cords. So he had to take a lot of drugs and everything. And then as he went through puberty, his voice just like got super deep.
Oh my God.
But because he had to do so much vocal training to sort of remedy the vocal cords, mm-hmm. he's really able to skillfully switch back and forth really, really quickly between both of the voices because he has a lot of control over his voice.
Oh my goodness. That is a talent that I'm dying to learn how to do that.
It's so nuts. Dennis and I were watching the video last night and trying to figure out if this is fake because I wasn't talking about DDG. Not that I'm like the big bearer of like what's pop culturally important. I don't know a thing. But people like me had not probably heard of him
until
this went viral. And now a lot of more people know about DDG than did before.
If you were going to talk in a fake voice, what would be your fake voice?
I feel like I would probably go the Paris Hilton route because my voice is deep to begin with.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'd probably go up here, which is weird because I'm really tall. And I feel like being tall, I don't know, doesn't necessarily go with having a really high, airy voice, but I'd probably work up here.
I'm kind of into that juxtaposition.
Now, see, I think you need to go deeper because your voice is already pretty high.
If
yeah,
when Elizabeth and I were roommates in Stanford, we used to go out for pizza late at night, and we just had like a really fun time with each other.
And I actually really like this version.
I gave her a lot of great ideas, but ultimately I decided not to join her company, and that really just saved my life.
Perfect. Watch, this is the episode that blows up, and we have to keep this going.
Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
Do my boobs look nice and supported and perky underneath my turtleneck?
They do, actually. They're like perfectly round and lifted, but there's no bra mark. Okay. It looks like your Barbie doll who has no nipples.
Oh my God, that is the best compliment you could ever give me. And you know why I look so good?
Why?
Because I am wearing my Honey Love crossover bra right now.
It's my favorite bra.
I lost this bra. It was in my closet, buried under like clothing and laundry and stuff. And I was devastated for 2 weeks because it was missing. I was about to hang missing persons flyers in my apartment to alert my husband that my favorite bra was gone.
I had to take photos the other day and I was like, I need my good bra for this.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled out my Honey Love bra because it's this amazing crossover bra. It's very comfortable.
Yeah.
There's no weird underwire that pokes you.
No.
But you still are supported despite no pokey pokey underwire.
Yeah.
And their bras are so comfortable that when you get to the end of your day, you're not going to do that, take off your bra and go, oh. Because it feels good to wear.
I'm shaking my head and agreeing with you, but this is an audio medium, and so I need to speak.
Yeah.
But Bethany, that is the best way to describe my relationship with my Honey Love bra. It's like an underwire bra and a sports bra had a baby.
Yeah.
And so I can run down the block to catch the bus in my Honey Love bra, but also I can wear it under really sleek, very thin blouses.
Yes.
And you're not going to see it like you would a bulky sports bra.
And you don't get the back fat.
Nope.
And here's the other thing. Honey Love, it must have been developed by NASA or something because they also have shapewear that doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And I've also never experienced this before. Anytime I've worn shapewear that is like the legging shapewear that stops mid-thigh, it always rolls up and then digs into my nether regions.
Yeah.
Their shapewear stays put and doesn't hurt to wear for long periods of time.
No, and it doesn't cut into my thigh, like mid-thigh. I don't get that weird thigh double chin
thing going on.
I don't know how they do. It's brilliant and it's the best. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com with the code TASTE. Again, use the code TASTE at honeylove.com.
Look at me, Bethany. I'm out here conquering the world. I'm cinched, snatched, and lifted in my Honey Love bra. Bethany?
Yes, Kathleen.
New year, new fashion. I sent you two articles today from theinsider.com.
Oh, no.
The first one is stylists reveal 7 pants trends, or pant trends, rather, that are in and 6 that are out this year.
I'm seeing, just from the clip, or like the, you know, the main picture.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a green check mark and an X.
Yeah.
The X is over ripped jeans. And I'm like, well, now Meghan Markle and I are both screwed.
The jeans that I wear every single day are my favorite ripped pair from Old Navy. I have them in 2 sizes.
Yes.
And I just, you know, if I'm feeling a little bloated one day, I go up. And next, if I'm feeling less bloated, I go down in my size.
I have had a pair of ripped jeans that I loved for so long that the rip went from being a little cut in the thigh.
Yeah.
To being a hole that went from the thigh to my mid calf. Oh, it just showed my full leg, and I was like, I'm not getting rid of these.
Great pants for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Built in air conditioning.
Completely.
Okay. So, one of the pants that they say are in this year, wide leg pants.
Okay. I feel like that's going to, I always am ready for someone to yell at me for wearing a wide leg pants.
I love a wide leg pant. It doesn't really suit my body, but I love that the way that they look on other people. Like, you're very tall.
Yeah.
You've got very long legs on top of being tall.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, you could have a tall torso like Michael Phelps or whatever.
Sure. This is the second week in a row we've brought up Michael Phelps, by the way.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
He's always top of mind for some reason.
For everyone. America.
You look great in wide leg pants.
I love them, but I feel like they just make my body look like a refrigerator because I love a big top.
Yeah.
I love a square shirt.
Yeah.
But if I also wear a big square pant,
yeah,
then I look like a Frigidaire.
Or you look like a skater wearing JNCO pants or whatever.
Totally. But not cool like a skater.
You need a more tailored top, I guess, when you're wearing a wide leg pant.
Yeah.
Okay. Pleather pants have made a comeback.
God bless pleather.
Mm-hmm.
They are hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
I love them. famously, we've talked about I have a pair of pleather pants that someone, when they reviewed them online, should have said how loud they are.
Yeah.
Because when I walk, it's like so loud. You know I'm coming.
Pleather pants are like living in an old house where the floorboards creak.
You can't sneak up on anyone in pleather pants.
Pleather pants, not for me. But I used to have a pair of those Spanx that were leggings made to look like pleather.
Yes.
I really enjoyed those for a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When riding boots were big. Nobody really wears riding boots anymore.
No, they're frowned upon.
Okay. Another pant that is in, tailored trousers are great for the office or a night out.
Are there trousers that aren't tailored? I feel like when you get to the world of trousers, they're tailored.
Yeah, there's never going to be a sloppy trouser.
Is there? Otherwise, it becomes a pant.
That would be a great band name.
Sloppy trousers.
Or a great Instagram handle.
Sloppy trousers.
I like a good juxtaposition. You are right. But I will say this about like trousers trends.
Yeah.
I did go to Banana Republic over the summer because I was like, I can't wear jeans every day. I'm an adult.
No, I'm a grown up now. I have to look like I'm doing something with my life.
Every now and then I need to put on a pair of black trousers, and I got myself a pair of black trousers and tops that I don't necessarily like with jeans, especially like really grungy ones that I would never wear out. Typically you can put a pair of them with trousers, then all of a sudden you're a fashionista.
Completely. Also same thing with a graphic tee. Put them with trousers and a blazer. All of a sudden, it's a choice, not a fallback.
You can sleep in your favorite graphic tee, put on a pair of trousers in the morning, and there you have an outfit. You don't even have to take it off.
That's why you should always bring tailored trousers to the bar if you think you're going to have a one-night stand.
And this is kind of controversial.
Okay.
One of the pants that they're listing as very in this year are cargo pants. It says specifically, cargo pants are a must buy this year.
Are they?
I don't know. Are they?
How do I feel about cargo pants? Negatively, turns out.
Yeah.
I just asked myself and I answered negatively. Do you need, what do they say?
Okay, this is what they say. As we slowly, officially usher in the return of early aughts fashion, a pair of cargo pants will be a must buy for the year, according to stylists or whatever.
Are they saying, I have this in front of me, but I'm lazy. Are they saying what we should pair them with?
This is what the article says. I would suggest getting yourself a neutral pair, something in the khaki family, to ensure that you can wear them year round.
I'm only picturing Mandy Moore dancing on the beach because she's missing me like candy. And she's wearing like two tank tops with a lot of tummy showing and cargo pants.
Yeah, the layered tank look.
Uh-huh.
I am going to stay neutral for now. I'm
just like your khaki color.
I am Switzerland when it comes to cargo pants. I'm going to see what comes out. Like maybe the Gap might have a pair eventually that I'm interested in.
If I'm looking to do a heist, which you know I always am, I would like a pair of black cargo pants because then I can put my lock pick set in one pocket. I can put my laser light grid set in another. I can put the Declaration of Independence in a third.
You put your snacks.
All of my snacks.
Your keys.
Pack up for backup.
Pack up for backup. And last but not least, Bethany, how do you feel about corduroy / velvet pants?
Pro. I have a pair of corduroy and I love them.
They're very hot, though.
They are. They're a winter pant.
You have to wear them outside when it's very cold.
I have a pair of high-waisted, flare-bottomed corduroy. How do you feel about that, Catherine?
High-waisted, flare-bottom corduroy. Uh-huh. I'm here for it.
Peak 1970s.
Peak 1970s. Uh-huh. I am so here for it on you. I have realized for me, because I have a short torso, mid-rise is where it's at. And actually, the next trend on the list says mid-rise and low-rise jeans are taking over the tired high-waisted trend.
Mid and low-rise. I'm happy that low-rise are coming back.
No, I'm thrilled. Low-rise, okay?
I like a jean where it hurts my hip bones after a while because the waistband is riding right along my hip bones.
I mean, they do make shirts longer nowadays, thank God. No, I'm not. I'm a solid mid-rise girl.
I need low-rise. I want to know where my pants are at all times. And unless they're sitting firmly on my hip bones, I don't know what's going on. I could be bottomless. I could be, you know, Donald Duck in it. I would have no idea.
And throw out your joggers. Loose sweatpants are in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm here for that.
Absolutely. I threw out my joggers, not because sweatpants are in, but because I ran out of room in my drawers
and
someone had to go.
Someone, you have to donate those joggers.
Yeah.
Go out and get yourself a pair of baggy sweatpants.
Yeah.
More comfortable than joggers anyway.
And you can hide so many things. My friend Morgan in high school once hid two slushies on her ankles when she walked into the movie theater under her baggy pants.
Oh my God. What is
two slushies.
What is she, Lara Tomb Raider of the movie theater?
She was. Oddly.
Oh, I wonder if I can put popcorn on my ankle straps.
You can put anything on your ankle straps if you try hard enough.
Thank you. So I sweat in a lot of different places in my body. I'm going to start naming them for you.
Okay.
I sweat from my underarms.
Uh-huh.
I sweat from my crotch.
Okay.
I sweat from behind my knees.
All right.
I sweat.
This is so hot.
I sweat underneath some of the fat rolls on my back. I sweat from my mustache.
So let's stop this for a second because you are so profoundly not alone.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
I too have been very honest about why I think Dennis needs to break up with me in the summer because I just sweat and become depressed and angry. No, that is why, Kathleen, I am so excited we've partnered with Lumi. Here's why.
Yeah.
Lumi is this awesome whole body deodorant. You can put it on your underarms, your private places, beyond. You can put it anywhere.
Yeah.
But this is the only time that I have ever, you know how sometimes you'll see a commercial online, like a pre-roll before a video?
Yes.
And you see that it goes for a long time, but you hit skip after 5 seconds, right? Uh-huh. Lumi is the only commercial I've ever watched a full, it was like a 5-minute commercial.
Wait.
I watched the whole commercial.
Wait, Bethany, me too, except I saw it on Hulu.
Yeah.
And it's the girl doing yoga.
Yes!
And she's like, does my crotch smell?
I think mine was a girl dancing. She was like spinning around. And I watched the whole damn commercial. Yeah. And then I bought Lumi. And this was years ago before we ever partnered with them. I am so excited we've partnered with Lumi. Here's what you need to know. Sorry, I just yelled at you.
No. It's okay. We're just really excited about Lumi.
So Lumi is this product that was made for the most sensitive parts of your body, right? You can put it anywhere externally to fight odor. So you can put it in areas that affect your sex life.
Yeah,
you can
like put it in your private part area.
Right. You can put it on your feet. You can put it under your boobs. You can put it anywhere you have a problem area. And not only is Lumi effective, it's seriously safe. They don't test on animals.
Yeah.
It's pH optimized to safely protect our pH and control odor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was made by a doctor.
Yeah.
You feel better. You're controlled. You smell better.
Yeah.
You feel like everything's gonna maybe be okay.
I mean, what other company out there has a whole body deodorant?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this until Lumi. And it's like, huh, why didn't anybody make this sooner?
What was going on? I'm looking at all of you.
Yeah. I have skin everywhere on my body. Thank God it helps me keep the germs out.
Exactly.
You know, but I sweat from all the orifices.
Every single one. And by the way, it's easy to use. They have sticks that go on like regular deodorant. They have a lotion. They have wipes. Like whatever you're looking for. You can get a starter pack that kind of gives you a little bit of everything and you can try it out and see what you like best.
I even saw it in my mother-in-law's bathroom.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to talk to her about where she's sweating because that's weird, but I know that she uses Lumi.
So get started with your Lumi starter pack today and learn why both Kathleen and I separately willingly watched super long commercials and then bought the product by ourselves. With over 150,000 five-star reviews, we are so confident you'll love Lumi that we're going to give you a code.
So get over 40% off of your starter pack bundle with the code TASTE at LumiDeodorant.com.
That's the code TASTE. Taste at Lume deodorant.com to save big.
Smell better naked with Lumi.
All right. So Kathleen, in our new format, this is the segment where we go back to one of the three things we listed at the top when we introduced ourselves.
Sounds good.
I want to talk about how I've started meditating in the morning.
Okay.
Rolled your eyes.
You're show off.
No, I'm not. You know me. Mm-hmm. You know my brain is addled.
Mm.
So I realized when I wake up in the morning, here's what's going on.
Okay.
I wake up at 6. Mm-hmm. I go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I stumble into the kitchen.
Okay.
My coffee has been made by my little coffee maker that starts at 5:50.
I tried to schedule my coffee maker to make coffee ahead of time.
Yeah.
And Neil put the kibosh on that. He was like, no, it's part of my routine to start the coffee machine. He wouldn't let me do it the night before.
Does he consistently start the coffee machine?
Yeah, every day.
Oh, well, then it's fine.
Yeah. But I was like, make your life easier. And he's like, no, it's part of my routine. I got to keep it the way it is.
That's amazing. You know what? Good on him. As long as the coffee is ready, I don't give a fuck.
That's true. That's true.
So I pour myself my coffee. I get my water. I go and sit in the living room. And Dennis has usually put on some type of Celtic woman CD.
What? Neither one of you are Irish.
Firmly in our 80s now. And we enjoy some easy listening Celtic ladies singing about how their lover is gone, but her shoes are made of leather.
It's the shoes of, it's the songs of my people.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So I sit there for like an hour and a half. Yeah. And I like look at my phone and I try to get my life together. And I look at my phone and I go through my emails and I delete things. And I'm slowly waking up until 7:30 when I start working out. So what I realized is that I'm just sitting there anyway. I might as well try to meditate.
Okay.
So here's what I've been doing.
Okay.
I set my phone timer for 10 minutes
mm-hmm.
because I'm not in an ashram. You can't expect great things when you first start.
Yeah.
I put my coffee down. I put my water down. I put my phone down over there. I sit with my legs crossed and my eyes closed, and I listen to the chants of the Celtic Irish ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, I am awful at meditating.
Okay.
But it is a wonderful thing to do in the morning. If it already fits in your schedule because you're already just sitting there, I think that's the secret to success.
Yeah.
You can't be like running around or late to something or worried about timing with something and be like, oh, and I have to meditate. I'm going to sit. You have to already be sitting and doing nothing.
Gotcha.
And it slots right in.
Mindy Kaling
has lost a lot of weight recently.
Okay.
And she says that she eventually realized that when she had a free moment, sitting on her phone and playing games wasn't filling her soul. So she just started going on walks.
Okay.
Like, sort of like a meditative walk.
Yeah.
And it changed her life.
Interesting.
And I saw something else written on Instagram recently where it was like, what actually fills your bucket? Does scrolling through your phone fill your bucket?
No.
Does staying up late to watch stupid shows on Netflix fill your bucket?
No.
And like, I am the big jerk off over here rolling my eyes at you. Like, Bethany, you're meditating. Oh my God.
Who do you think you are?
You're already a vegetarian. I say that very lovingly.
You're already insufferable.
But you are totally right.
Look.
You're already sitting there.
You're already. And I think that's the key. You know how they say if you're going to make a big change, attach it to something else you already do every day, right? So if you need to work out, attach it to like going out and getting groceries. So then you'll like go for a morning walk and then go and get whatever. I don't know if that doesn't work, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
That is the only way I found success. Is I'm already doing nothing. I might as well mindfully do nothing.
And you do it for just 10 minutes.
10 minutes. I want to get more, obviously.
Yeah.
Start, like, be able to do longer.
Yeah.
But right now, having music helps because my brain can sort of just listen to the fire-headed ladies sing about the old Moors.
Yeah.
And my brain, I try to just focus my brain. I have, like, in my head, I have, like, a black... the blackness of nothing. And then I have just like a white orb of light and it pulses, like it sort of glows bigger with every breath out.
Oh.
Right. And then I just scared myself. I just hit my nose on the microphone and it shocked me. So then
you're really in the zone.
Yeah, I know. So it's like, it gets bigger, it gets smaller and sort of pulses. And every, you know, it's everything you hear. Every time you find yourself thinking of something, you just picture it washing away and you just try to like focus on.
Oh.
The pulse of light. Another thought comes up, it washes away.
I really like that you started with, I'm doing this and I like it, but I'm not good at it.
I'm awful at it.
Because it's very hard to keep going with something that you know that you're not good at.
Yeah. And when it's so, when I think the people who need to meditate the most are probably going to be the worst at it because our brains are so busy.
That is really interesting that it's, you say that.
Right. How often, Kathleen, does someone mention a memory to you and you have no idea what they're talking about because you realize you weren't fully present in that moment when that thing happened?
A lot of times.
All the time.
All the time.
And it's because none of us are in the present moment, including myself. So it's like, I think like we need it the most to just be in the present moment.
Yep.
I keep telling myself I could have like fatal heart condition that I don't know about that could seize me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. So like today is all we have and I'm trying to like figure that out.
If you received a box on your doorstep. Okay, this is based off the book that we're reading for book club on Patreon.
Okay. It's not just a random thought.
If you received a box on your doorstep and inside that box was the length of time that you had left in your life, would you look at it?
Absolutely not.
But if you did know that you had less amount of time, you might make different, you might make changes.
Does it
feel like too much pressure?
It feels like too much pressure. It also,
like if I knew that I didn't have a lot of time left, I would for sure throw away my phone.
Yeah, and I'd blow all my money and have fun doing it. Here's what I think. Okay, this is going to sound like a bummer. Please don't take it as such.
No, I won't.
As someone who has depression, I would be just as sad if I saw that there was a short amount of time as if I saw there was a long amount of time. Don't be bummed. Okay. Don't you dare be bummed.
No, I'm not.
Because it feels overwhelming to know that I have 60 more years.
Yeah.
Right? That like I don't know what that struggle is going to look like. That feels overwhelming. Just like if it's like you have a week, that's so sad. Mm-hmm. I think that I would be bummed in both cases. I don't think the positives would outweigh the negatives at all. Plus, it's like on your birthday, when all of your birthday becomes is just answering people who are saying happy birthday on social media, and it becomes like not about you anymore.
I turn off my birthday like for a week when my actual birthday happens.
Totally.
Because I don't want to have to respond to everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I feel like if you find out you have a month, it just becomes about telling everyone that you have a month.
Yeah.
And then reassuring people. Right. It's just like, whole thing. Would you want to know?
I would want to know. And if I had a month, that is a devastatingly short amount of time.
Yeah.
But like if I had 3 years left,
then
I'm like, I'm getting the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Stuff that I've typically said, oh, I'm going to get it done later.
Yeah.
Or things I've been afraid to do. Like time is of the freaking essence.
Yeah.
Literally, I would live my life to the absolute fullest. I feel like anything less than 3 years would be pretty devastating. Yeah. 3 years would be like the short life sweet spot.
That is the most Kathleen answer ever, because you really have like pointed. When I first met you, you were like, oh, I'm scheduling to have a baby in 2018. Like that's the most Kathleen answer is I would like three or more years, please, that I have left to live. That would really work well for me.
Yeah. I mean, you could really squeeze a lot into 3 years. Think about who, like your life 3 years ago.
Oh, God, it was terrible.
Totally different.
Totally right? different. Yeah,
By the way, I'm really behind on my baby timeline.
It's okay. We all are. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Bethany, I learned this week that I need to start meditating.
Do it in the morning when you're staring at nothing already.
No, I learned that I need to stop being overzealous when I'm doing my makeup.
Why?
Do you ever stand in front of the mirror and you have nowhere in particular special to go, but you're like, today I'm going to do a cat eye.
Yeah.
But then you mess it up and now you're half an hour late to wherever you need to go because you got makeup overzealous.
I'm going
to
be one of those people who's just pulled together all the time and all of a sudden everything's falling apart around you.
I get makeup overzealous and then it stresses me out. And it's like, just do what you know feels right and is easy to do.
Yeah, you don't have to do a bold eye today.
No, no, I don't. I don't have to do a bold eye ever, really, truly.
No.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Okay, I learned if you are somebody who it's the most comfortable for you to sit with your legs piled up under you, like I have to sit crisscross applesauce or it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's the way that your hips are lined up. So if you sit on the floor with your back against the wall, put your legs out straight in front of you, and then just relax, your legs will either fall, like watch your feet. Your feet will fall open, they'll fall in, or they'll pretty much stay up.
Okay.
If they fall open, you have an external rotation to your hips, and so it's more comfortable for your legs to sort of be out, which is why, for me, sitting on a chair with my feet on the ground hurts because I am actively trying to keep my legs in.
I see.
Because they just want to splay open.
Yeah.
If you are more comfortable sitting like with your legs crossed, you may have an internal rotation to your hips, which is why it's more comfortable for you to sit kind of with your knees in. Does that make sense?
I'm thinking about how I like to sit. I never sit with my legs crossed. I feel it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I like to sit at the edge of my chair, and then I like to cross my ankles underneath the chair.
What are you, royalty?
I mean,
did you go through finishing school?
In some circles.
So anyway, that is why I learned this week, and that's why I have so much hip pain, is because I don't go against my external rotation. I'm always keeping my legs, like, crossed. Like, outward.
Yeah.
Like I'm Britney Spears or something. So
poor Britney.
I know.
I really am rooting for her.
So my hips are always open, whatever. Anyway, it's interesting. I hope it's interesting for you. It might explain why you are the way you are.
I love hip health. I save.
Oh, God.
Every time I see a good hip video on Instagram, I save it to my hip folder.
Yeah. Who is it? The physical therapist that you and I both follow, the guy who dances before all of his physical therapy things?
Dan Shapiro.
It makes me uncomfortable when he dances, but I do love his recommendations.
He is adorable.
Yeah, he's great. Follow him. We'll tag him in the show notes.
I mean, he's lucky I'm not single.
He's your type.
He's so my type.
He's your type. Shout out to Danny Shapiro.
Anyway, if you want to follow this podcast, you can find us on Twitter at Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can also find us on Instagram at Acquired Podcast.
You can follow me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color. How about you, Bethany?
You can follow me, Ms. Bethany Watson, on Instagram at Ms. Bethany Watson. I'm also on Twitter at Radio Bethany, but I don't use it very much.
Yeah, I'm like, can we just be done with Twitter?
I think we can sort of be done with Twitter.
Until Elon Musk doesn't own it anymore.
I mean, I mostly just don't get really excited about it. I haven't for a while.
The only reason I still update on Twitter once is because a couple of years ago, an ex-boyfriend, I mean, like a guy I really, really liked in high school, was like, yeah, every now and then I check out your Twitter. I'm like, why are you checking out my Twitter? Check out my Instagram. That's where my premium content is.
That's a weird thing for him to say.
I know. And so sometimes I update it. I'm like, oh, is he going to see
that? Totally. Where's my best angle?
I know. I need to let him know that I'm still doing okay and looking good.
And looking hot, okay. I might add.
We do a live show on Patreon twice a month. This month, we're doing our live shows on Tuesday, January 24th and Monday, January 30th. It's a lunchtime show at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, the Monday one is. The one on Tuesday, the previous is a 7:30 at night show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're doing book club on Sunday, January 29th in the evening.
Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him, Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
All right. Everything else, head over to AcquiredTastePodcast.com.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Alicia. I just had to stop the latest episode because I'm cracking up at the Best Smart Kitchen Appliances episode. And it's hilarious because when you guys were talking about the Bespoke collection, I was like, oh my God, because me and my boyfriend just closed on our house in September. And literally that is the fridge that we bought. I think we bought like the first, whatever, installment, like the first ones that got released. But we have the 3-door. The 4-door was a goal, but it was too much. And I absolutely love it. Is it cheesy with like the changing of the doors? Possibly haven't explored it yet, but we got 3 doors, so that was good. And I was cracking up when Bethany said, what exactly is bespoke? What does bespoke mean? And when Kathleen was trying to explain it, I just, only thing I could think of was Lady Gaga when she's like, never been done, never the same, unlike anything else, unreal, unimaginable, never been seen. I was cracking up. But anyway, love you ladies. Love bespoke, but I don't need a television on my fridge.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. I just discovered this awesome thing on the Apple Podcast app, which everyone probably knew about before me. And if you click the top 3 right buttons, I'm sorry, on the top right, there's 3 dots. You click it, and it gives you an option to show unplayed episodes. So I went through all my podcasts, and I did that. I'm like, oh, it would be so much easier now for me to find ones I have to listen to. I was expecting everything in Acquired Taste to just disappear because like I'm caught up to date. And what's revealed? An episode from June 1st, 2018 called Where'd You See Keanu? Bonus 7. And I was like, oh my gosh, how did I miss this? So I started listening to it and Bethany, what do you mean Keanu is your number one love? No, he's not. Andrew Kagan, remember we bonded over that?
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Katie from Queens, New York. I was just calling because I was listening to the latest January 12th podcast. We were talking about the smart appliances. And actually, this was about a month ago. Samsung does have, like, color plates, or I don't know what they're calling them, but for some of their appliances already. So you guys are right on the money. But I was just like, oh, my God, wait, no, they do make that product. Because I just saw it, and I was fawning over it, kind of low-key hoping that one day, one hour, when we need to replace our stove and oven and appliances, not that we want to spend that money, we can have that one. Well, anyways, have a lovely day, everyone, and talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, this is Taste Bud Thea from Iowa, and I just wanted to give you my little uptake on a mother's curse. A mother's curse is something that my mom did to me, where she said, I hope you have a daughter that is just as awful as you. And, yep, I got one, and she's 27. Then I did it to her, and she has 4 little girls that give her such attitude. So that's what we hand down, a mother's curse. Love you.